Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Around 4 million Latinos are registered to vote in Texas. About 2 million more are eligible, but are not yet registered. Latinos have long faced barriers in the effort to register to vote and to cast a ballot. The Southwest Voter Registration Education Project was founded 50 years ago to take down those obstacles. San Antonio activist and organizer Willie Velasquez founded SVREP, or Southwest Voter as it's also called. Velasquez was a co-founder of the Mexican American Youth Organization and became the first statewide coordinator for the precursor of La Raza Unida Party. Velasquez felt Latinos not just needed to vote, but be informed. His name is synonymous with the phrase, su voto es su voz, your vote is your voice. We're talking today to SVREP's current president, Lidia Camarillo, about the group's history and current efforts. She says the push to start voter registration efforts in the Latino community started long before 1974.
It's 1968, in the times of the civil rights movement, when Latinos, Chicanos, Black communities, everybody's thinking about how are we going to make progress? How are we going to stop the discrimination? And there's a meeting of lawyers who are also LULAC members. They're all LULAC members, frustrated with the times that they have spent advocating for justice and representation. And they decide to have this meeting in San Antonio to discuss how they're going to form the Mexican American Legal Defense Fund, MALDEF. Willie Velasquez, the founder of Southwest Voter, happens to be part of that conversation. And he says to the group, well, I'm not a lawyer, but I think one way we could help is to register and mobilize the community so that part of our progress in finding justice for our community is through the vote. And that's how it starts.
And just to sort of interrupt there, what barriers were already there to register to vote? Like right now, it's not easy to register to vote in Texas, but it couldn't have been that much easier 50 years ago.
But there's so many barriers. I mean, we can have a whole conversation just on the barriers. There's the poll tax then, which people don't realize you actually had to save money to vote. And if you didn't have the money because todo cuesta, food, the rent, people were more concerned with their survival of their families, so they couldn't afford to vote. Plus, they also knew that even if they paid the poll tax, there was no guarantee they were going to win because of the way that the systems were established. They were at large systems at the local level, so they know Latinos knew they were going to lose if they voted. Chicanos knew that their vote didn't have the power that it should have. So there's a lot of voter discrimination and voter suppression efforts, but that's one of them. It was 1968. Every single year, Willie applied for the status of a 501c3, which allows us to collect money and it's tax deductible to the donors so that we could do the work. Every single year, he was rejected. This is 1968, and every single year he tries this. At the time, the MALDEF president is Mario Bledo, who later also was the LULAC president at the national level. So part of this conversation, he says, help me with this application. What am I doing wrong? I keep getting rejected. Mario looks at the application for 501c3 status, and he realizes there's nothing wrong. And it happens to be, as they say, when the stars are aligned, they're aligned. Mario Bledo tells Willie Velasquez, they're both gone, unfortunately. But he tells Willie, I'm going to be in D.C. Let me find out what's going on. So he goes and finds out that Willie Velasquez has been blacklisted by the Nixon administration because he wanted to register Chicanos, Mexican Americans. So it starts from the very beginning that we ourselves were blocked from doing the work that we needed to do. Once that was lifted, because Mario dealt with that issue, immediately we received the 501c3 status, and then Willie realizes there's a lot of issues that he doesn't know about how to register voters. So he then collaborates with the late John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, who at the time was at the Voter Registration Education Project and helped and gave technical assistance to us about how to do that. Southwest Voter was modeled after the NAACP Voter Fund. And so Willie did something extraordinary. In spite of not having the status, 501c3 status, every year he would register some folks. He would start his day, in addition to working, because he had to have a separate job to sustain his family, with a folding chair, a folding table. I like to tell the story because that's how it began. A rotary phone, which some of you listeners might not even know what that means. And a phone book. That's another thing you won't know what looks what it is. He begins to call people and make appointments to go register them to vote. Since we opened our doors, we have registered 3.4 million Latinos, trained 150,000 Latino leaders, and won 210 voting rights lawsuits. And we have three lawsuits that are pending right now, two in Texas. The redistricting of all four maps, we think they're unconstitutional. We can prove it if we are allowed to finally depose the other side. And then SB1, which is one of the worst voter suppression bills that allows for partisans to stand on your face when you're voting and intimidate people. And then Arizona, which is going to require that people who want to vote at the local level must also provide a proof of citizenship. We litigated this issue already in 04, and we're about to go through it again. And those are the three cases that are pending right now for us. The other case that is pending is not related to voter suppression or our voting rights, but it's the issue SB4, the attack on the immigrant community. We felt that it was important that we fight for the communities that are part of the Latino community. So that is sort of the beginning of how we started and where we are, but there's a lot in between.
Why hasn't it become easier to register to vote?
Well, you know, that's like the simplest question, but the most difficult one. Right. It's $1 million question. Yeah. If it was easy to vote, we would all vote. And then we would create some different changes and policies would be more aligned with the interests of the Latino community and other communities that are poor and working families. So what you begin to see is that there's changes throughout the times of when we began to vote. The first changes, as I said, is the poll tax. The Black community has been at the forefront of fighting for those rights. People would be asked to also read or recite the Constitution or do stuff that just doesn't make sense, that not everybody would be able to pass it even today, those of us that even have BAs and PhDs and law degrees. Very formally educated folks might not be able to pass, recite whatever it was that they were asking. So all those efforts have been a constant to basically sustain what in our world we call the Jim Crow, allowing a certain group of people to have the power through the elections about the local, state, and national elections. And that's something that we've seen in the South, and Texas is very much the poster child state of voter suppression laws. Why isn't it easier? Because they don't want us to vote. If they wanted us to vote, we'd have a national day that we all turn out to vote and we would celebrate it. We would even allow for people who have to work to take the time to go vote and be reimbursed the hours that they lost for being in line. There would be no lines. We would be registering online. We would be voting online. We bank online. Why shouldn't we vote online? If America truly wanted to be the country that tries to say that it's the example of the best democracy in the world, then it has to first exercise that in its own home. We are in a state of attack to our democracy, and part of Southwest Voters' mission is to fight and protect that democracy. It's not enough that we're registering voters. It's not enough that we're voting. The vote has to count. Back to when we started, Latinos and Chicanos understood that if they voted in a system that was at large, their vote wouldn't have the weight that it required to vote.
Lidia Camarillo is the president of the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project, the largest and oldest Latino voter participation organization in the U.S. When we come back, the so-called Latino vote is not a solid red or blue block, but it does tend to lean in a particular direction.
Latinos vote anywhere, depending on the state and depending on the issues. They vote anywhere from 65 to 82% or more Democrat.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Voting in Texas is not easy. Texas was ranked the hardest state to vote in 2020. Texas is one of only 8 states that does not allow online voter registration. It does not permit same-day voter registration, which lets voters register and cast their ballots on the same day. Mail ballots in Texas are restricted to certain populations. Some naturalized citizens have been illegally purged from voter rolls, and the state's voter ID laws do not allow student IDs or state or federally recognized tribal IDs. Like many voter restrictions, these requirements impact communities of color. The Southwest Voter Registration Education Project has worked for 50 years to hold voter registration drives, educate voters about the latest changes to voter laws, and advocate for political empowerment of Latino communities. SVREP's president, Lydia Camarillo, says Latino representation at the polls is crucial because there's a lot at stake in November.
We really are in a state of crisis in democracy. If we do not fight for our democracy, we do not know what's going to happen in the future. We already lost affirmative action. I don't know how many of you understand exactly the power of what affirmative action did for my generation and generations before and generations thereafter. That's how we received an education, and that's how we were able to go to college. And the affirmative action was never about giving us a quebrada at the homework and the work that needed to be done. It was allowing us to enter the universities and then complete and compete like everybody else. We've also seen the loss of the opportunity for us to decide as women our own destiny about our bodies through the Supreme Court, where we've just seen the Supreme Court decide that there's presidential immunity. Basically, any president that gets elected can decide to attack groups like ours who are fighting for democracy, as well as their own opponents and so forth. So we really are in a state of crisis. And I know that some folks might argue that's just words. You're just saying tonterías. But it isn't. It isn't. We have to make sure that through our vote, we fight for justice. We fight for respect and dignity for our communities, and that we make sure that we don't stay home when we should be working. Over the last 50 years, all 4 presidents, I'm the 4th, every single one of us has engaged in similar tactics to ensure that our community has a voice. And by that, I mean registering voters, turning them out to vote, understanding that our niche at Southwest Voter is contacting new voters and transforming newly registered voters into high propensity or perfect voters, fighting the voter suppression bills. Not only are we speaking to legislators at different state houses, including here in Texas, and at the congressional level to make sure that we have laws that enhance voting and enhance the opportunity to register to vote, and that we block and we stop any voter suppression efforts across the United States and certainly here in Texas. And then we're also training organizers and candidates to run for office. But we're also preparing elected officials that just got elected. I remember when we first started doing the Latino Academy for the elected officials, they would look at us like, you're right. I learned how to campaign. I won. But not only do I'm not sure how to read a budget, but how do I deal with the ethics issues that are coming before us as elected officials? How do we make sure that we are truly held accountable to the community? And how does the community hold those elected officials accountable? All those factors are part of what we do. But lastly, I think what we really do is inspire young people, every generation, that they're the leaders of this nation and that they have to act. We're the majority in many places now, and we have to act like the majority, which means that we have to think about policies that serve us and others and policies that are not regressive and oppressive. And as the first Latina president of Southwest Voter, we conducted Latina-only candidate training because as Latinas, we have to compete with Latino elected officials as well and Latino candidates. They had an opportunity to not only discuss the elements of what a campaign is about, whether it's raising money or how do you make sure that by election day you have so many votes and that you have the policy set? The issues that we as women struggle with when you are a leader, whether it's a candidate running for office, an elected official, a head of a nonprofit, there still is in this country, and certainly in this time in 2024, we're not only dealing with fascism, racism, and sexism. So those are all the factors that we're dealing with. So it was a joy to do that. We want to continue to do some of that because it's a space where we not only have the conversations about how to win, but how to act and how to compete as Latinas and as women.
A lot of people, obviously, and this has been talked about a lot on this particular station, that people just assume that, oh, the Latino vote means the Democratic vote. But as we all know, we all have members in our family, perhaps some are in the majority, where you're going to find a lot of them lean heavily towards the right. They're also the Latino vote, not just the Democrats. So really what you're looking at is just overall increasing the numbers and the awareness of getting people to the polls, because I think most people, it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum they're on, they will say, my vote doesn't matter. It's just going to be the same old thing. But how many times have we seen that votes come down to a handful of votes that will make that decision? And usually it's just a very small percentage of people who are registered who actually do show up to vote. So there's a lot of really complex layers in that whole equation.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. When people say to me that their vote doesn't count, I remind them of different elections in our history, including the 2000 election of Gore versus Bush. It was decided ultimately in Florida by less than 550 votes. There's an election in Los Angeles for a state senator that was decided by 14 votes. There's plenty of elections in San Antonio, in Austin, in Dallas, where the elections are decided by 245 votes. Think about that. Some of us have that many family members at our family reunions. So we need to think about the power of our vote. But I think we need to talk about the power of our vote and the growth. I've been working with Southwest Voter for 26 years in two different phases. And I say two different phases because I left in 99 and I came back in 03. And when I returned back from Los Angeles to San Antonio, I found there was a sense of despair by the voters at every level, including elected officials and leaders of public relations, organizations, businesses. There was a despair because they felt that their vote wasn't counting. And that has to do to your question about, are Latinos Democrat? Are they Republican? Are they independent? Or are they other? Latinos, as you know, have always felt, and that's why we saw the effort with La Raza Unida to fight, because they felt that they were not represented by either party. It is today a question about whether or not the Valley in Texas is going to go Republican. Let me start by saying three things first. First of all, no single group, voting group, whether it be white, black, Asian, Latino, or other, votes at 100% one party or the other. No single group. Latinos vote anywhere, depending on the state and depending on the issues, they vote anywhere from 65 to 82% or more Democrat. In the Valley, what we're finding is that more and more people will argue. I remember receiving calls from several media organizations, including you all, including the Texas Public Radio, asking, is in fact the Valley, the Latinos in the Valley becoming more Republican? And I remind us all that, first of all, if you live in the Valley and you work for ICE, if you work for oil companies, if you work for the sheriff's department or any of those, they're probably going to be Republican voters. But that's a small number of groups. And then there's folks who are not working for these sectors and they vote Republican, but it's not at 100%. The Valley is, it's not true what people are saying. Congressional District 15 is going to vote Republican. Why? Because it was gerrymandered during the redistricting process. It's part of our lawsuit. So is Congressional District 23. Unless Latinos out-organize and outmaneuver the shenanigans that were done in the redistricting process, those districts are going to go Republican. But it doesn't mean that it was Latinos necessarily. There will be some Latinos, but it will be white voters who will be carrying the Republican flag in those districts. The data says it. It's not me. The data says that. So when people say to me, are Latinos becoming more Republican? Of course, there is some growth to that, but not at 100%, not at 50, not even at 10%, 1 or 2 points. 1 or 2 points makes a difference in many places. What do we know about 2018 when Beto O'Rourke ran for U.S. Senate? When Beto O'Rourke ran, there were 2.6 million registered Latino voters. They are now going to be close to, knock on wood, we're going to try to get there. Our projections are that we're 5,000 short of 4 million voters. That's a dramatic growth. From 2016 to 2024, we have seen that 1.3 million more Latinos have registered to vote. Why? Because we're all organizing in what I call the Trump factor. We saw dramatic growth in 2016, and 2020 was dramatic, and we're still seeing some of that, in addition to the work that we're all doing. Now, having said that, I think that the next question is, do we expect to see more Latinos turning out to vote? In 2018, for the U.S. Senate race, it was an off-cycle. Less people vote in off-cycles, gubernatorial cycles. More people vote, including more Latinos and young people, white young people, black voters. More people vote, period, in a presidential general election. Even in a state like Texas, where little money is invested to turn out to vote. In 2020, Texas was considered a competitive state, but no one except our work at Southwest Voter and a few others mobilized the Latino vote. If you only have a few people turning out the Latino vote in a state that is as big as this, then you're not going to see the kind of results that you can see in Pennsylvania or other competitive states. Right now, the Latino vote will determine the outcome in Georgia, in Arizona, in Michigan, in Nevada, in Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, which are the electoral vote states. Now, why do I say that? There's going to be a dramatic turnout of young voters, white young voters, a dramatic turnout of white women turning out to vote, a stunning number of black voters turning out to vote. Pero si nos quedamos en casa, much like the discussion on a day without a Mexican, when the immigrant community would stay home and they're no longer paying their taxes and the economy would collapse, you would see a different outcome if Latinos stay at home. So it's imperative that people understand that the Latino vote will help change how the outcome of the elections look if we all organize Latinos. You know, when Willie started the organization, he didn't think we were going to last more than 10 years. We're now 50 years old. But he didn't think we were going to last more than 10 years because he had the optimism that we were going to change the world in a short amount of time because registering voters and having voters turn out to vote would change it. But every time we turn out voters, they change the rules on us. See, since we just had the Olympics, you're running, and you're going to win the race. You see the yellow ribbon that says, I'm going to cross it, I'm going to make it, I'm going to be first in line. And then they move the line on you again. That's what's happening with the issue of voting rights. So we have to be very, very vigilant. And you as voters have a lot of opportunity to change that. Call your members of Congress. Call your U.S. senator. Call your state representatives, your state senators. Call your local leaders and ask that we demand that we have the right to vote. That we change laws and make sure that, like other states, there's 33 states out of the 50 states where we can register online. That is so much easier. As soon as the pandemic hit, why is it that Texas refused to allow for all of us to vote by mail, given a health crisis? Other states are doing it. They automatically, every single registered voter will get a ballot and it will arrive at their home. And then people will vote and people will celebrate the participation of voting, much like what my mother does. And she'll have the family, everybody bring your ballot home. We're going to have some enchiladas or pozole, whatever they feel like having. They discuss the issues, they discuss the initiatives, they fill out the ballots and then they vote. Well, we don't have that here, but you can call everybody and have your menudo, that pozole, and you all run and you vote. It has to be done, because if we don't do it, who's going to fight for us except for ourselves?
Lidia Camarillo is the president of the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project, the oldest and largest nonpartisan Latino voter participation organization in the U.S. The organization marks its 50th year this year with a Get Out the Vote campaign. SVREP will mobilize Latinos in several swing states like Arizona and Georgia and continue its mobilization efforts in California and Texas. SVREP kicked off its campaign and its 50th anniversary this July with a celebratory dinner in San Antonio that honored late SVREP founder Willie Velasquez and former SVREP president Andrew Hernandez. Another 50th anniversary dinner is October 4th in Los Angeles, and SVREP holds a voting rights conference October 12th at the University of Texas at San Antonio downtown campus. The flagship event examines the current state of voting rights and the fight to ensure accessible voting. More details are at svrep.org. Thanks for joining us today for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marianne Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.